Hatter?
Yes.
The Mad Hatter says to Alice in the midst of this, words mean what I want them to mean and nothing more. Well, this morning, we're not going to follow that procedure, but we're going to be dealing with words and more words in this section of 2 Peter 1:5 through 7. It's a very, very illustrative section. It is part of what are called virtues and vices, word lists. And this is one of the virtues word lists. And there are several different passages in the New Testament that reflect New Testament ethical lists. I'm going to pass you out this is a list of the ones that I have found. If you would do me a favor and look over this list and think about it, and then if you know of another, if I've missed one or have overlooked one, or you think that there's a list that needs to be there, a scripture reference of the lists, let me know, will you? Because I think I have found something that I want to work on more extensively. I've had several people through the years say, well, you ought to write a book. You ought to write a book. You ought to write a book. And I said, well, you know, all the good stuff has been already written on, so why should I try to add to it or plagiarize from it? So, but I think I finally found something that I'd like to work on, and it would take a lot of work and a lot of time. And if the Lord permits me, I'm approaching the season of my 78th year, so if he extends me more time, I think I'd like to write a book on all of these virtues in the New Testament that are mentioned. Now, there's been books that have been written on the different scripture, passages. William Barclay has done a book on the fruit of the Spirit. That's a very good book. He's a very good writer, and he does a lot of word studies. Although he does have some deficiencies in his approach to word studies. He is a bit liberal in his theology, but. So this is one of those lists, and let's take a look at it this morning. Come with me over to 1 Peter, or 2 Peter. In verse 5. You know, this passage is so closely tied into what Don spoke on last Sunday. We should probably pick this up by looking at verse 2. Start at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. As his divine power has given to us, get that, his divine power has given. That's an important verb, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. This word virtue, is good. We're going to look at that again further. It's down in the list that we're going to go through. Glory and virtue, who has called us by glory and virtue. This is a reference to God here. Some of the translations render it praise. Greg, what is the... How does...
Excellence.
Okay. That's another translation. This is a slippery word. This Greek word. By which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious... What?
Promises.
That's one of the predominant themes of the whole Bible. Promises. In fact, it has... How many of you have heard of Walter Kaiser? Okay, some of you... great Old Testament theologian. And in fact, he thinks that this is... He's written a whole book on how the Bible demonstrates, every book of the Bible demonstrates the subject of promise. In fact, his approach to things is called promise theology. Great promises. That through these you may be partakers of the what? The divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Partakers of the divine nature. So this is what God has provided. We're beneficiaries of this. And then he comes down to verse 5 and he says, but also, in addition to all of these benefits that God has lavished so wonderfully upon us and in us and through us, but also, for this very reason, the reason being back what he has just provided, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And then he goes on. And one writer has called this a ladder, the ladder of faith. He says, for this very reason, giving all diligence. Diligence is an interesting word in the New Testament. I'm sure you've all heard and read, and maybe some of you can even quote it, study to show thyself approved unto God. Well, that's this word, diligence. Now, the first two occurrences of this word in the New Testament are really interesting. This diligence conveys the idea sometimes of haste or being quick or hurrying. And the first two occurrences of this word had to do with two different women in the New Testament. How many of you heard of the saying, haste makes waste? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well... Sometimes that's true with regard to this word, because the first occurrence of this word has to do with a woman who was so hasty that she caused the murder of a great man of God. Anybody think who that might be? I'll keep giving you hints, but she, through her haste, caused this great man of God to be murdered.
John the Baptist.
That's right. And who was she? The man of God was John the Baptist.
Herodias.
Pardon?
Herodias.
Herodias.
Herodias? No, it wasn't Herodias. Pardon?
Her daughter, but it wasn't her idea.
It was Herodias' daughter, but she's unnamed. Actually, Herodias was her mother.
Yes.
But actually, the girl is unnamed, except for one critical Bible translator who thinks that she had the same name as Herodias, but...
Salome?
If you,
is that what?
No. She's actually unnamed. And look it up. So, haste makes waste in that instance, because she made haste after her mother and went in. I think it's John, or it's in Mark 4:39 but she went with haste. Give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. But then there's another woman who used proper haste. She was in a dilemma, an acute dilemma, and she went to an older woman for counsel, encouragement, and comfort, who was in a similar circumstance.
Mary.
Greg, you just know them all, don't you? Yeah. Mary went with haste to who?
Elizabeth.
Pardon?
Elizabeth.
Okay. And so she went to her... Now, I think Elizabeth was her aunt, wasn't she?
Cousin.
Were they cousins? Well, anyway, they were related. So here's an example of a younger woman going to an older woman with haste. And that's the way the New Testament teaches, that older women ought to counsel and work with younger women. There's been a lot of problems when that has been ignored in Christian work. So, we have these two women that, and many other examples of diligence. So, now the reason why I bring this out is if you can take one of these words and find a person that resembles this or is an illustration or an object of this, it really helps to bring to bear the significance of the meaning of the word. And we'll see this as we get down into this list. So, giving all diligence, what are we to do? What's the next little three-letter word?
Add.
And this word add actually means to add copiously or add with a great deal of intensity. To give you an idea of it, what's involved is it was used in... how many of you know what an angel is when it comes to Broadway plays? You ever heard of that? It's used... Pardon?
Financier?
Yeah, that's it. Somebody who comes alongside and he puts up the money... And the way it's usually used now is he bails them out, so to speak. So an angel, so to speak, in that way. Now, this word is not angel or related to it. But it had to do, and in the Greek usage, that every city would have a chorus or a choir that would support the plays that were put on, the Greek plays. And a choir and a chorus was a integral part of this, and the person who took care of and provided the sustenance and the... now, sometimes it was more than one person, but often it was just one person. And they would vie with each city would vie with each other as to who had the best chorus, and so this was a provisioner. He supplied extensively so that the show could go on. And so this is what's involved to add reservation, add to your faith. Now, what's involved? What faith is he talking about here? Well, it's the faith that he referred to back earlier, to those who have obtained like precious faith. Now, what is the significance and the actual meaning of the word faith? At the root of the meaning of faith is involved a persuasion. Faith is a persuasion. It's a persuasion that something is true. Who's called the father of faith?
Abraham.
And this is demonstrated with regard to Abraham over in the book of Romans, because it says there that Abraham did not waver concerning the what? Abraham did not waver concerning the
promise.
The promise, but was fully persuaded that God was able to provide what he had promised. And this was accounted to him for righteousness. He was justified on that basis. Notice the presence of the word promise in connection with this. It's being persuaded that the promise of God is true. How is anybody saved? It's by the promise of God. What is the great promise of God? What is the greatest need that man has?
Forgiveness.
Oh, you can get forgiveness, so what? I heard it. Eternal life. That's man's. Why is that man's deepest need? Because what are we all going to do? We're going to die. We're going to die. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why are we going to die? Why do we die?
Sin.
That's where sin comes in. We die because we are sinful. So we're not leaving sin out, but we're putting sin in its rightful place. What we need to proclaim is the promise of God. That's man's deepest need, is that he needs to know what his eternal destiny is. So the remedy for death is eternal life. That's the promise of God, and Abraham believed God's promise, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And so we are to add to our faith what? Add to your faith
virtue.
Now this is a very, very difficult word to, it has a broad range of meanings in its usage in the New Testament. And it only occurs five times in the New Testament. And it is sometimes, some translators render it, let me see if I can pull this one item up here. Yeah, here it is. This writer, Diedmann Hebert, says this: in your faith supply virtue names the first feature in their character development. Notice Peter applies this quality of virtue to Christ in verse 3. and then here to the growing believer. As an attribute of the incarnate Christ, it is appropriate that it should be evident in the lives of his people as well. But the precise force of the term here is not clear. So our versions show a wide variety of renderings. And let me give you a list of how they are, how it's rendered. Where did that go? Just blitzed my note. Let me give you the different version, the different ways it's translated. Now, it's translated as virtue in the King James Version, the RSV, the New English Bible, Darby and Berkeley, and Latty. He was a Roman Catholic scholar. It's also translated as excellence by Rotherham, and then as Greg has pointed out to us, it's moral excellence in the New American Standard Version. Worthiness is young. Goodness. Anybody got the NIV here this morning?
Goodness.
Yeah, goodness. NIV, the 20th century. And so forth. Noble character. Montgomery translates it manliness, and it's used that way as manliness in several places in the outside of the New Testament Greek usage. Resolution is how Moffat renders it. And then the Roman Catholic New Testament translation by Kleist and Lily translates it, and I like this translation, moral courage. So the idea of manliness was involved in this. Now, ladies, you're not left out of this. You want to know why? Because guess what case this Greek word is in? The feminine case. Yay, so you're not left out. But this moral courage, this seeking for this excellence or this virtuousness. How many of you remember in English you had the positive case and then the comparative case? And then what's the next one? Pardon? No, positive, comparative, superlative. Good, better, and best. What's this word and what's involved in this word? It's the best. Seeking for the best. Okay, you get up in the morning and you got two things. You've got the Word of God and the Tacoma News Tribune. What are you going to do first?
The best.
You know, and you can apply this to everything, to all of life. Is this the best? Is this God's best? Do we read the best books? Willie was talking about this Roman centurion that says, prophesy, who struck you? I've been reading a book this last week, A Month in the Life of a Roman Centurion. Mm-hmm. And you know what centurion he's talking about? He's in the New Testament. Yeah, very interesting book. It's historical fiction is what it is, but I love to read stuff like this that you know, digs into the scripture, and this is written by a New Testament scholar who I think stinks. And he does stink because he believes in replacement theology. He believes that the church has superseded Israel, and that there is what we're seeing over there in Israel is not just doesn't conform anyway. Let's not get over there. But he's written a great novel. I'm enjoying it enormously. But the best, that's what's involved in virtue, that manifests itself in courage. And who could we use as, let me preface this by saying, a number of years ago, as I was doing a survey all the way through the Bible and doing a survey of each of the individual books, I had that, and I was, and then, have any of you, did any of you ever go to Bill Gothard's Okay, do you remember the character qualities? He had cards with all of these character qualities.
There's a big bound book I just discovered in my bookshelf covered with death too that is wonderful.
Yeah, the animal on the animals. Yeah, there were three volumes of them. But he had these cards with all of these character qualities. And so what I did is I was working through each book of the Bible. I said, now what does this book, what character quality does this book really represent and evidence? And, you know, amazingly, every single book that I worked on demonstrated a character quality. And so what book demonstrates virtue, excellence, courage, most of all? I think it is the book of Joshua. I think Joshua was a man of courage. And just read the opening, first chapter. Joshua. I think Joshua is an example of virtue. And the whole book of Joshua is an example of this. So that's virtue. We've got a contemporary example of courageousness. How many of you heard about the 20 Coptic Christians that were murdered by ISIS? You know, most of you have. Did you know that there were actually 21? This is an article called Conversion on the Beach. One man's conversion to Christ before the ISIS execution. All of the 20 were Coptic Christians, but this man was a Chadian and was not a Christian anyway. In the midst of this, he became, let's pass these out. This is an amazing story. I first was alerted to it by David Jeremiah, but this is a contemporary example of a wonderful testimony. I just wonder of those 20 Coptic Christians who witnessed by their death to this man who was with them. I wonder if Jesus stood up and welcomed him in heaven. You know, the only place that I read in the New Testament where Jesus stood up was at the martyrdom of Stephen. Because Stephen said what? Behold, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. So Jesus was standing up to receive him. But he intercedes for us now. Who is he that condemneth? Shall Christ that died yea, rather that is risen from the dead, who even now is at the right hand of God and maketh intercession for us. Bless the Lord for the one who makes intercession for us. Okay, let's get back to the So, we add to our faith virtue. Now, let me just point out something to hear about adding. One writer has noted this. He says, Peter uses ellipsis in this portion. In fact, a double ellipsis in verses 5 through 7. Two things he does not repeat but expects all his readers to assume are giving all diligence and add to. I suggest that to give the greatest punch to what Peter said and to receive the greatest impact from what he says, one would be wise to repeat those two terms with each of the last six items, making it read, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue. Giving all diligence, add to virtue, knowledge. Giving all diligence, add to knowledge, self-control. Giving all diligence, add to self-control, perseverance. Giving all diligence, add to perseverance, godliness. Giving all diligence, add to godliness, brotherly kindness. And giving all diligence, add to brotherly kindness, love. So so Peter says we need to apply mathematics to this. Add things. Do this in addition. So prior to when he came into this portion, he actually, as we looked at the beginning, we saw the motivation, and there's three, we might say three D's that we need to follow. I'm backing up here a little bit. There's three things that we need to follow in regard to these character qualities. There has to be desire, there has to be determination, and discipline. If we're going to follow this command. And that's what the opening part is really demonstrated to us. So we come into the passage itself, back to the passage itself, and it says that we are to add what to our virtue? Knowledge. Add to the virtue knowledge. Now, this word actually involves there's two words for knowledge that are used in the New Testament. Actually, three, but this one involves is one word study writer has said, he says, it's present and fragmentary knowledge as contrasted with full knowledge. There's two Greek words. This one is present or fragmentary knowledge in the sense that it is something that can be added to. This is knowledge that can be added to. And at the end of this book, what does the last verse of this book say? 2 Peter. But grow in the grace and the knowledge. It's the same Greek word. We are to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how would we do that? Reading the Gospels. Who would be an example of... I got 5 minutes. What we're going to do, folks, is we'll get as far as we can here, and I'm just going to quit. Okay? Now, wait a minute.
You got 10 minutes.
I got 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
What Kathy said.
No, we need to turn the faucet off.
Doors aren't locked. Anybody can leave with their
Who's an example of knowledge?
Paul.
He prayed.
Daniel.
He prayed and he asked for wisdom and knowledge.
Solomon.
I think Solomon is a man. Now, you know, knowledge by itself is not going to get you through, because what does Paul warn us about in knowledge? He says, knowledge
Sup,
but love edifies. So it's got to be knowledge that's rooted in that last verse of 2 Peter, as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the book of knowledge? What is the book of knowledge? What book in the book is
Proverbs?
And you'll find more references to knowledge in the book of Proverbs as any place else. So, knowledge. And we could add a great deal. I mean, this one word study book that I've got here, I don't know how many references he refers to and talks about. Incidentally, let's talk a little bit about... Now, if you want to find out, let me share this with you. When I first became a Christian, I was reading the King James Version. And there were things in there I just didn't understand. They had words in there that I didn't understand. So you know what the first book I bought after I started to really begin to follow on to know the Lord? Now, I was saved, I think, when I was 6. And I was baptized when I was 11, but I began to really follow on to know the Lord when I was 18. So when I was 18 and I got this Bible, there were words in there I didn't understand. So what I did was this. I went and bought a little pocket dictionary, English pocket dictionary. And I had no problems after that. And then later on, I found out about another book that went into the words more thoroughly and extensively. When I went to college, I took Greek from Winifred Weeder at Seattle Pacific University. And that was called Seattle Pacific College then. I didn't tell you how old I am. And then I found out about this other book that many of you have. And what's it called?
Strong's Binds.
Well, Strong's has got some definitions in the back, but they're pretty limited. But Vines, is it Vines Dictionary of Expository? That's really a lexicon. You know the difference between a lexicon and a dictionary? A dictionary gives definitions in the same language. In other words, a dictionary gives you definitions of English words. A lexicon gives you definitions of two different languages. So Vines is really not a dictionary. It's really a lexicon. That's the difference between them. Anyway, there was Vines. And I used Vines extensively. But sometimes I found that Vines was a little bit deficient. Didn't have quite everything that I would like. And Vines is very good, but if you really want to get in even more in depth, I would suggest that you get hold of, it's called the Complete Word Study Dictionary. And it has both the New Testament and the Old Testament. And now, I have a page open here in my computer to this Bible program, and I have at my fingers' ends over a dozen word study sources. Since Vines has come out, there's been an extensive amount of work done on word studies. But if you just got that other work, if you want to dig a little deeper, the word study, the complete word study dictionary. And in fact, I had thought about, actually copied out all of these words. I have 8 pages of notes just out of that one dictionary and all these different words that we have here. But let's hasten on, see if we can cover some of these, at least give you some content with regard to the rest of these words. Add to your knowledge, and then to knowledge, what are we going to add? Add to knowledge what?
Self-control.
That's the one. That's the other word I was telling you about that Jesus demonstrated. Mm-hmm. Self-control. Let me see if I can find this. What is self-control? Self-control actually means eye power. It comes from 2 words. Ego kratia. Ego means I. Kratia means power or control. And as it's used in the New Testament here, it's not used a lot of times, but this writer says, self-control points to the inner power to control one's own desires and cravings, the fruit resulting from true knowledge, or virtue guided by knowledge and discipline. While the term often connoted restraint from fulfillment of sexual desires, it extends to all areas of life where the discernment between good and evil is important. You see, what comes first is virtue, seeking for the best, where virtue, guided by knowledge, disciplines desire and makes it the servant instead of the master of life. Self-control may be said to supplement faith. So, self-control. Let me open one thing up here and show you. I want to give you a quote from a man who talks about the fact that we're not looking at do all this stuff on your own. Because as Don brought out last week, and is demonstrated in the earlier verses, that God provides the basis for doing this. One writer says, commenting on this adaptation of Stoic material, and there are Greek virtue lists in pagan Greek literature. He says rightly that he didn't wish to Hellenize the church, that's not what Peter's intention was, but only employed such expressions because they would be familiar to his readers and they were what God wanted them to build into their lives. The great difference between Stoic and Christian ethics is that the latter are not the unaided product of human effort, but the fruit of our being partakers of the divine nature. God never asks us to do anything but that he has not made provision for us to accomplish.
Didn't he say, without me, you can do nothing?
Yeah, that's right. Well, at least we got down to self-control. Time for Greg. then you've been very attentive listeners. So it's time for a reward. One of the great lists of virtues is the fruit of the Spirit. And we've got one of these nice little booklets for you on the fruit of the Spirit. So, if we can pass these out, we will have a word of prayer. And we'll leave it at that, even though we only got through three of the qualities. I think there's enough that, you know, if some of you just have got to have, like Pat, a couple of extras for, I don't know if they would be interested in this.
But I hope so.
Well, anyway.
Sir, do you have stock in the Rose Publishing Company?
No, but let me tell you something. Rose, normally these cost $4 a piece. And they have periodic sales, and you can get them for 99¢ a piece. So when I see a sale, I think of you. Now, not everything that they have is particularly appropriate, but I didn't know that this was coming up, but I this was on a sale, so I've got a stockpile. Now you get these. This morning, this is a special treat, but normally we only pass these out when?
In Sunday school.
Unless we get a super abundant supply of them and they bring them down. Bring them down. But so come to Sunday school because there's a reward. Now, I know not all of you can come to Sunday school. It's tough from here. That's all my dear wife can handle at this stage of her infirmity, and appreciate your prayer. But as much, would you do me a favor and pray for a man by the name of Val? He just got out of a rehabilitation center up in Cedar Woolley, and they turned him loose and. They just didn't. It's a mess, paperwork wise. But he is a believer, but he's sunk deep into sin, and it's made its mark and influence. Sin pays a wage, both in this life and in the life to come, and he's. Struggling. Just pray for us as we work with him. Connie?
Would it help Jeanette at all to bring like a soft lawn chair? Or
pardon?
Would it help Jeanette at all to bring a soft lawn chair or folding chair or something?
Not really.
Okay. It's just the time sitting still.
I'm very, a very wonderful woman. And she has put up with an ignorant man for a lot of years, and but she's not without sin. She's very stubborn in certain ways, and so I maybe there's hope, Connie, because she called my middle daughter the other day. And she says, I want you to take me to the Goodwill so I can find a woman's cane. We have a walker. I've got a Cadillac walker, but she...
We
can
paint the cane.
Huh?
We can paint the
cane.
Maybe she wants to hit you.
Let's pray, shall we? Lord, how rich your word is, how rich the individual words are in some instances, how magnificent. Lord, I still think back to the time when I first began to follow on to know you, and went to the pastor in a Sunday evening service, and I said to him, "Dear Dr. Scaife, who's with you now," how I said to him, "You know, it sounds like here in 1 John that Jesus Christ existed before the before the world was created." And he smiled at me and he said, "You're reading it right and you're understanding it properly." And Lord, now we have open before us this multitude of sources and to dig deeply, deeply, deeply into your word. And I just bless and praise your name that we can do it quickly and efficiently. And we thank you for the richness of your word. We pray that we will grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother Ken, let's close with number 201.